Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to The Drop Set, episode 25. We've got a lot to discuss today. I have a good show lined up for everybody. We're going to recap the week. We've got a little bit of a Q&A recap from yesterday I want to go over. Your questions, comments, always welcome as always. And then we've got some myths to talk about. We've got a rant to go over. And then we have one topic today. So the topic that I want to dive into, which will be a good thing, is has a very confusing name, and when I finally post this, I will do so with a slightly less confusing name, but I call it the hierarchy of concerns. So basically, all the things in the realm of bodybuilding that you could possibly concern yourself with, how do we prioritize those things? And I think just putting it all out on the table can really help. So we've got plenty in store for today. So thanks for joining. My name is Darren Starr. This is episode number 25. It's Wednesday, October 18th. So 12:30 p.m., we're doing it live here. So if you're listening to this in the recorded version, great. It's good to have you. If you are watching live here on Instagram, hi, everybody, or on Facebook, hi, everybody, or if you're watching on YouTube, which... this is going to be the Facebook video will eventually find its way up on YouTube as well. So I'm staring at it right now. I bought a fancy new webcam for the YouTube version of this, but it arrived yesterday and it's going to require some software updates as well because the microphone on these webcams, it's not really up to snuff. So I can't use the audio that it captures and actually put that up on the podcast. So I need to find a way to use my trusty little, Audio Technica mic here to capture the audio, use the webcam for video. It's going to require some software. So I couldn't figure it out in the limited time that I had. So anyway, that will be coming down the pipe. So the YouTube video, if anybody's watching that, it's in portrait. I'm sorry. The Facebook app, when I go live, it forces it to portrait and it didn't used to do that. It used to record it in landscape. So I don't know what's going on there. So, all right, we got some eyeballs. So anybody has questions, comments, anything that they want to bring up throughout the course of the show, please feel free to chime in. And if it is relevant to what we were talking about, hey, bonus points for that. So if you're listening to the recorded version later and it seems like I am just talking in non sequiturs, it's because I'm responding to comments that come up. So I will try to make that clear as we do it. So, all right. So let's dive in here. The weekly recap. Basically, a couple of interesting things happened this week. I learned how to use stories on Instagram. So watch out. So, I always, hopefully you do this as well, unless you're one of those people that posts on Instagram like 20 times a day, in which case, I don't know what the hell else you do with your life. If you do, kudos. If you can like hold down a job and actually like do other stuff at the same time, double kudos. I don't know how you do it. As I go through and I'm like, should I post this or whatever? It occurs to me now that I've done it, like the stories are the way to put up that stuff where you're like, I don't know if anybody cares about this or not. So watch out. You're going to see all kinds of irrelevant stuff on my story on Instagram. So probably some dog pictures as well. we'll see how that goes. They're a little shy sometimes. On YouTube, I've been uploading a couple videos, kind of slowed down a little bit this week just because, the more videos that I upload specifically for workouts, the fewer there are that I need to upload after that. So there was a mad rush and now it's going to slow down a little bit. But I did update the look of the channel, updated the artwork on there because, I'm such a brilliant graphic designer. Not. So it's a little bit of a struggle. I do have a question for anybody out there who might be listening. So one of the things that I want to do with YouTube is right now I've got just a ton of workout videos that are all about a minute long. I want to do some that are more like 5 to 10 minutes that go over various topics. So first of all, is there an interest for that? And second of all, throw some topics my way, some ideas that you might have. Let's see. Workout plan. So I did put up a new workout plan this week, actually. I think it made it up on Friday-ish, something like that. So this one is called Finish Them. So if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, then you know where I got that from. But it's basically, every workout has a brutal finisher in it. So that's up online right now. If you go to 5starphysique.com, click on workout plans, you can see it along with the few others that I have up there. And the next one that I'll be putting up hopefully this week is going to be kind of geared a little bit more towards beginners-ish. So somebody who's looking to just get their feet wet in the gym, they're not afraid of things necessarily, but they need a little bit of guidance, like a good starter program. I'll have that available and online, hopefully, within the next 4 or 5 days. T-Mac on Instagram has a question. All right, I like it. Seen people on forums going to a calorie surplus only on days they work out and maintain on off days. My thoughts on that. That is not a bad idea. I mean, there is a concept there, the concept being that your intake should be commensurate to your output. So this is one of the basic tenets of carb cycling. So, you know, I think back to, 15, 20 years ago when I was first starting and working with a trainer and the kind of stuff that they had me doing, it was very bro science-y, not much to it. But it was like, hey, you know, on leg days, that's your high calorie day. And you know, maybe back day as well. On your other training days, that's going to be more of a moderate calorie day. And on your rest days, that's going to be a lower calorie day. It makes sense. I mean, you know, it kind of depends on the specifics, the ins and outs of, you know, what's high, what's low, how high, how low. But overall, I think that's a good idea. And it kind of depends on the phase that you're in as well. So if you are trying to grow versus trying to cut, the appropriateness of something like that may change a little bit. So I find that when you're trying to grow, just kind of maintaining a steady calorie surplus for most people, I don't even know if I'd say for most people, but for a lot of people is a decent strategy, and it's also easier. So, you know, growth and off season is all about sustainability. So it's still a lot of work, like doing meal prep, eating enough to be able to grow, working hard enough. It's hard. Save the really complicated stuff for during prep, when you're trying to cut, when you're trying to drop body fat, because a little bit of extra precision, a little bit of extra attention to detail matters there. So a carb cycle, I think, or a calorie cycle in general, makes a little bit more sense there. Hopefully that helps a little bit. Good question, though. I like that. Speaking of questions, we had a Q&A that was scheduled for Monday, and I ended up doing it yesterday, Tuesday, instead because of an internet outage. So I thought I could skirt around it by just pushing the start time back a little bit, but it still wasn't online. So I eventually just had to reschedule it for Tuesday. So we did it yesterday. It lasted for an hour. So we will be doing that on Mondays going forward, 3 p.m. Eastern time. That time is not set in stone. So if I hear a lot of feedback from people who, like, hey, can you do it earlier? Can you do it later? Whatever. You know, I'm not opposed to doing it after hours if that might help. So, you know, I'm open to feedback on that. Right now it's scheduled. It'll be Mondays, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So you can listen to me play the piano a little bit in between questions as well. Or if you were on yesterday, you could have watched me eat. Which I know was really exciting. Watch me eat in between questions. So we had some good ones on there. So, and you know, I am not immensely popular yet. So if you join in and you ask your question, it will get answered. You know, in 6 months down the road, when there's 1,000 people in there, I'm not going to be able to answer everything. So just know where it's going. But in the meantime, if you want to hop on, get your question out there and I will, I'll be able to help. So, let's see, recap of my week. I talked about this a little bit yesterday on the Q&A, so it feels a little redundant here, but you know, I'm currently, I'm in about week three with my coach, so it's you know, it's interesting. I mentioned, you know, the challenges of trying to, you know, when you are a coach and you hire a coach, of adapting to the way that they do things, because, you know, I'm very particular about the way that I do things. I have a very set way that I want to tackle things, a very specific way that I present things, and it's geared around how, you know, my brain is focused on certain things. It's very OCD, it's very detail oriented. I'm not creating diets based on my gut or anything like that. Like, I think so and so needs this. I mean, it's very analytical and it's very numbers based as well. So, it's tricky just because the plan that I received from him, because everybody has a different way of doing it. You know, he'd rather talk on the phone you know, rather than email, which I hate talking on the phone, but cool. If that's what works for him, fine. And then the meal plans are delivered via text message. I'm like, okay, immediately I've got to go and plug it into a spreadsheet so I can see the numbers, see it all laid out in a grid so that I know what it looks like. And it's just easier for me to wrap my head around how to actually follow it that way. So, it's interesting, but, it's going pretty well. I would say the training is tough. You know, it's forcing me, he's having me do one leg day a week, which I have typically done it twice. The reason being for that is I feel I can get myself up for it more easily if I know that, okay, I've got 2 days to hit legs, so neither one of them has to necessarily be a world beater. But doing it once a week, it's like, yeah, it's going to be a good hour and 45 minutes and it's going to suck. Oh no, comment from Instagram, son of nothing, bruised my ribs something fierce using a lifting belt feels like a knife in the liver. Yeah, no fun there. So there you go. One more reason not to wear lifting belts. I'm not totally anti-belt, but I know a lot of people who wear them for, you know, everything that they do. Just walking around the gym, I'm going to the water fountain, let me put my belt on. You know, I mean, I understand the reasoning for that, you know, the idea being, you know, it forces you to keep the diaphragm tight, but you can do that without a belt. And realistically, if you just cinch your belt up, all it's doing is squishing stuff in. It's not necessarily forcing you to keep things tight. You've still got to activate and engage the core. It doesn't do that for you. There's still manual work that has to be done there, something deliberate that has to be done to follow that. So I'm not anti-belt, but if somebody says, hey, should I or shouldn't I? Nah. I mean, the one exception to that would be if you have had a previous injury, then I think a belt can be a good idea. Otherwise, I think you're not getting a tremendous benefit from it. And in fact, it can really help. Lever style, only 80%. Yeah, I gotcha. Cool. It can really help. Not help. It can really encourage somebody to go heavier than they really should, like a false sense of security. So anything like that, like a slingshot for bench or knee wraps, those kind of things, you know, those are not something that should necessarily be in a bodybuilder's day-to-day arsenal. From time to time, yes, for specific things, sure, but not something that we use all the time. So I mean, on my plan, you know, my weight is sticking around like, you know, 225, 228, something in that range. So feeling a little bit tighter week by week, though, which is cool. So considering I'm eating a ton, it's kind of nice. So, okay, so I had a myth that I wanted to go over here, which is going to lead into a slightly more nuanced discussion here. And this is one that, I mean, if anybody has done anything fitness related for any amount of time, you're going to roll your eyes and be like, really? People think this? But yes, people think this. And that is, you know, when you stop working out, muscle turns to fat. So this is based on, I think, like 12th century alchemy, back when they thought they could turn lead into gold. You cannot transmute one substance into another, regardless of whether they're minerals or whether they are substrates in the body. So muscle and fat are different. There's no crossover between the two. One doesn't become the other or anything like that. Muscle grows or it atrophies, and fat cells enlarge or they shrink. That's it. Those are the four options. So there's no crossover between them or anything like that. What happens, though, because, you know, people say, oh, I stopped working out and my muscle turns to fat. You know, what happens is, you know, because you stop working out, the muscles atrophy. And then because you stopped working out, probably whatever you're doing with the diet, you probably stopped that as well. So you're going to put on more fat. So it seems like, yes, oh, I'm losing muscle, I'm gaining fat, one must be turning into the other. No, I mean, it's much more simple than that. You are losing one and gaining the other. So I feel I have promised also that as long as people on this planet still think that there is such a thing as spot reduction, that we're going to continue to have that discussion each week. So yes, we will. Once again, for the masses out there, there is no such thing as spot reduction. If you want abs, you have to diet for them. You do not do abdominal exercises to drop body fat in the midsection area. I'm not even going to use the B word that everybody talks about there. I will, just because nobody knows what I'm talking about. Belly fat. I will not say it again. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. So please tell your friends, lipo, okay, yes, yes, Thea has a good point. Lipo will do spot reduction, yes. But as far as, like, you know, creams and that kind of crap, no, don't do it. Sweatsuits, I mean, you're looking at losing water weight, which I think most people probably understand that. The problem there is that, you know, your body is smart, and trying to outsmart your body, it's not going to work. So if you're trying to drop a tremendous amount of water weight at, like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks out, your body doesn't give a crap. It's going to put that back on as soon as you rehydrate. So it only makes sense to try and increase your water loss when you stop taking so much in. So like the last couple days of prep before a show. So be smart, you know, work hard, be hardcore, but be smart about it as well. Okay. So yeah. And, before we jump into, the rant, because it's a good one this week, I feel very passionately about this. I just thought I would share this story. So, in case this person is watching, you will remain nameless. But I got this email earlier today from a client who is doing a check-in, apologizing for being late, and the reason being, and it just goes to show, you know, some people are, Some people deal with different challenges than others on a day-to-day basis. So apologies. My dog stepped on my computer and broke the monitor, so it's taken me all morning to figure out how to connect an HDMI cable from my laptop to TV in order to see what's on my display and therefore be able to write the check-in document. So that is, I'd say, the second cousin of my dog ate my homework. My dog broke my computer. You know, in 2017, that probably is the equivalent. So... I had to laugh, though. I saw that. I'm like, of course. You know, I mean, I love dogs, so case closed. That's okay. All dogs get a free pass if they make anybody late for their check-in. I'm okay with that. And it's funny because clients will send me their progress photos as well during their check-in, and they'll say, like, sorry, my dog's in the photo. I'm like, forget that. You get out of the photo and just send me pictures of your dog. I'd rather just see that. I mean, you know, dogs are the best. So anyway, okay, the rant for this week. So one of the things that, you know, if you've been paying attention and really listening closely, which if you know this, that just, it makes me a little concerned that maybe I'm being stalked. But I've mentioned before that I'm working with a marketer to help kind of improve my social media presence and that kind of stuff. So one of the things that she advocated is on Facebook, there are all kinds of groups that you can join, private closed groups that you can join where you can be in the discussion, you can share your content in there, et cetera. So she pointed out a couple of bodybuilding specific groups. And so I joined those and, you know, just kind of going back and forth through some stuff. And it's extremely prevalent there because the population is probably, I would say, in those closed groups, it's about 95% male. But women, if you have ever posted a picture of yourself on social media, specifically like something fitness related, I'm sure you have had your fair share of responses of men telling you what you should or shouldn't do with your body. So, first of all, guys, and I'm looking at you here on Instagram, I'm looking at you here on Facebook and YouTube, and I'm talking to you, whoever's listening here, shut the hell up. Nobody cares about your damn opinion on somebody else's body, especially a woman. You have no right to tell a woman what she should or shouldn't do with her body. Don't get too big. You're getting too skinny, too lean. Oh, this is fake, blah, blah, blah. Shut the hell up. I'm dead serious. I'm not even joking. It is not cool. And there is a big conversation in this country, rightfully so, about the prevalence of sexual harassment thanks to Harvey Weinstein, who I will fully admit I had no idea who he was until like 2 weeks ago. I'd never even heard of him. But I think, you know, I hate to say it's good that this happened, but, you know, if one complete perverted asshole can be the impetus for a reasonable discussion about a really important topic, great. And it doesn't just apply to movie producers and people in positions of power, but guys, anywhere, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever comments you have, whatever thoughts you have about a woman and her body and what she should do with it in order to meet some ideal or some standard that you have in your head, nobody gives a shit. So please shut up and stop that nonsense. Okay, I'm done. Let me get off my soapbox here. Whew. All right, I got a little heated there. Sorry, I can't help it. So, all right. So back to the topic at hand for this week. So, the hierarchy of concerns in the bodybuilding world. Darren, what the hell are you talking about? Hierarchy of concerns. So let's call it factors of concern. The expanding or shrinking sphere of concern. So what I mean by that is all of the things that you could possibly be thinking about. You know, there's a lot of things when it comes to bodybuilding. You know, people always say, hey, it's pretty easy. It can be, but it can also be extremely complex if you let it be. So there are so many things to consider. And until you kind of put them all out on paper, it's hard to really know, like, oh, man, there really is a lot of stuff I can be thinking about. So what I want to do is break it down into a couple of tiers. So if you're watching live here or if you're watching on YouTube, I will hold this up just so that you can see what I'm looking at here. It's a little chart. It looks kind of vaguely like a stylized periodic table of elements. But it's just loaded up with just all little things, like little topics, little subjects, things that in the world of bodybuilding, things that you can, should, or maybe shouldn't be concerned about. So I want to break those down a little bit. I was thinking about the best way to present this, and I'm not totally sure. So we're just going to kind of wing it here. keeping in mind where I got this from, actually. So one of those groups that I just mentioned, one of those Facebook groups, one guy posted this, and I think his name was Victor Black. So I will give him credit here. I don't know that this was necessarily his design, but he posted it and shared it in one of the groups and kind of had the same message that I did. And that, you know, there's a lot of stuff to worry about. And I think his message was more like, you know, these are all the things you need to focus on. And I kind of want to break it down and say, well, depending on where you are in your journey, some of this stuff makes sense to think about. Some of it doesn't, or at least not yet. You know, I work with a lot of people who are, you know, first timers, they're beginners, they're aspiring competitors. They haven't done it. They're trying to get their feet wet in the world of bodybuilding. So the question is, how do we present this huge amount of information to these people without just completely overwhelming them? Because I could say, all right, here's your chart. This is your homework. I want you to, you know, study up on all of these topics here and be a master of all these within 2 weeks. Be like, all right, peace out. I quit. See ya. it's not going to happen. So there's probably like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's about 50-ish things on this list. So some of them are kind of related to or are subsets of another. Some of them I would put in the optional category as well. So let's go. Let's take it from the ground level up. So I tagged a few of these as being things that, yes, these are things that as a beginner, these are things that you need to focus on. And this is actually related, now that I think about it, to a question that I was asked in the Q&A yesterday. Somebody said, what do you wish that all people who work with you came to you already knowing? And so some of those things would be, you know, the things on this list. So on the beginner level, I've tagged, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things out of this that I would say are top tier, highest level of importance, really need to know about this kind of things. So the first one, in no particular order here, the first one is intensity. Understanding the concept of intensity. I've talked about this at length. I've written about it at length. I have done videos about it. And, you know, all the videos that I do that are on YouTube and that I posted on Instagram are all with a guise towards trying to demonstrate what proper intensity looks like. So if you've ever watched the videos of old school guys, like, you know, well, I mean, there was one video that really strikes out. It was from the 90s. It was Dave Palumbo and some other guy in the gym. And I think they were putting on some kind of like a professional wrestling kind of mentality to it. They were like, you know, getting up in the camera and yelling. And they were like, you know, grunting like apes during their set. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So that is not necessarily what intensity is. I mean, sure, it's high intensity, but that's not the only way to get there. So when I'm talking about intensity, I'm talking about the degree of muscular fatigue that you can achieve during the course of a workout. You know, how much can you activate a muscle? How much can you get it fried, basically? And it's not always just more weight and being more and more like a jackass with every progressive minute in your workout. It's not about, hey, look at me. Everybody pay attention to me. I'm awesome. No, it's not about that. I mean, intensity can be a very quiet and a very focused thing. But it's not, you know, you don't need to focus on being, you know, as reserved and stoic as you possibly can be during a workout. So it's important that intensity is met. And so that is a broader discussion that we have had before and we will have again, I'm sure, just because it is one of those top tier factors when it comes to bodybuilding and starting out on a beginner level. And it's not necessarily that I need everybody to have high intensity from the word go when they start a program, but I need you to understand when you're there and when you're not and what it should look like and what it's not. The second beginner top tier level factor of concern would be adherence. If you don't follow a plan, you can't know how well the plan works for you. So being able to just, you know, receive a set of instructions and follow them is important. And that seems really, really basic. But if it didn't need to be said, I wouldn't say it. So, and that does not necessarily mean that you have to be 100% compliant to everything all the time. But especially when you're first starting out, you know, what I look for when I start working with somebody, how does that first week go? And if it's like, hey, you know, I got off to a good start here. I had a couple challenges, you know, it wasn't perfect, but overall it was pretty good. I'm like, all right, cool. I can live with that. Every now and then I get somebody who, you know, I send them off all the information, and that first email that I send somebody, there's a bunch of stuff in there. It's a lot to process. I get really worried if I don't get an email back within like a day, with a bunch of questions. So I'll reach out to people and, you know, sometimes what will happen is I don't hear from anybody all week, and then they send me their check-in, and it's just been absolute perfection, 100% from the word go. As soon as they got the email, like, they went out and they hit the store, they prepped, they were on the meal plan that night, boom, that's all there is to it. I'm like, okay, that's great. That is rare. That doesn't happen a whole lot, but I will take it. What's more of a concern is when I send a plan out and it's like, you know, there's like hesitation on getting started, or a fear of like, I'm not sure I know how to do this. Well, ask, first of all. I mean, that's what I'm here for. Sluggish adherence, like, I started meal planning, I'm going to start the workouts next week, or vice versa. You know, I've started the workouts and, you know, I'm going to look around at some grocery stores and see what I can find. What are you waiting for? Do it. I mean, it's food. You've got to eat. So eat the right stuff. But adherence is key. If you don't adhere to a plan, you have no way of measuring how well that plan works for you. So you can't really properly evaluate the need for any changes going forward. I feel like a bobblehead here looking back and forth between these two phone cameras. So sorry about that. I'm kind of making myself dizzy here. The third beginner level factor of concern, macros. I would say this is the case whether or not you are following, whether you're following a macronutrient-based plan or a meal plan. So the reason being is having a solid understanding of what macros are and where they are coming from in your foods is important. And I know for those of us that have been doing this for a long time, it's really easy to say, like, well, okay, this is all the stuff that I eat. These are the protein sources. These are the carb sources. These are the fat sources. When you're first starting out, it's not quite so automatic. I mean, you know, it takes a while to click, like, oh, yeah, the protein sources, those are the things that come from animals. Okay, all right. And the carbs, oh, okay, so like grains and starches. I mean, you can put them in those words, but, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily click and say, oh, those are carbs. And the fat sources are a little bit more ambiguous. Like, a lot of people don't recognize the oil as a fat, or that nuts are a fat. So understanding where those come from, and then you can look at, you know, if you have a meal plan that you're trying to follow, how is it laid out? You know, where are the proteins? Where are the carbs? Where are the fats? Look at those things, and, you know, don't forget fiber as well. But look at those things and try to develop a deeper understanding of how the plan is put together, and think about why it's put together a certain way. This is assuming it is put together in an appropriate way, but those are all things that are worth thinking about. So macros, important. Kind of going back to the very first thing we talked about, intensity, the next beginner level top tier factor of concern would be muscle activation. This is just something as simple as being able to take a muscle and flex it. Just isometric flex, isometric squeeze right there. If you can't activate a muscle at will without resistance, it's going to be really hard to use it effectively once you do add resistance. So think about a curl. Like, it's really easy to just curl a weight up and down. You can do that all day, but, you know, until it gets really heavy, and then you start to struggle with it. But more weight isn't the answer. More muscle activation is the answer. So work in that isometric squeeze at the top. Can you flex your hamstrings at will? Can you do that with your knee straight? Can you tense up the hamstring even with your leg totally straight? Can you activate the glutes from a standing or a seated position? Can you flare your lats? Can you squeeze your pecs? All those kind of things. Just being able to activate the muscle, that's key in bodybuilding. That develops body coordination. It develops a deeper mind-muscle connection, and it makes exercises that use those particular muscle groups easier to get more out of as well. Let's see, this is going to be five out of six on that beginning level tier factors of concern. This one is tracking, your ability to track stuff. And by that, I don't necessarily just mean macros. I mean, just keep track of what you're doing. You know, when have you done cardio? What lift did you do? Are you logging your workouts? All that stuff, very important. There comes a time when some of that can become a little bit more intuitive, but you're never going to get to that space. Well, I hesitate to say never. It's unlikely, or it's more difficult to get to that space unless you track things and you kind of monitor the data that you're recording here and really kind of do a deep dive onto the data that you're collecting. So think about that stuff. And then this is probably the most important one, the most important factor of concern, and the one that usually gets a little bit of lip service straight on and then gets forgotten easily for beginners. Factor of concern, top tier, goal setting. And we've talked about this before, so I won't rehash the entire discussion. But if you don't have a goal, you don't necessarily know why you're doing anything. And if you have a goal that is really focused on the short term, it's easier to achieve a short term goal. And then once it comes and goes, then what's the long term goal? Well, the long term goal is to, you know, not focus on that short term goal anymore. And then blah, everything kind of falls apart. So goal setting specifically in the long term, important stuff. So I'm going to take a couple of notes here just because we're going to jump into the intermediate category next. Well, I've segmented it out into beginning, intermediate, and advanced. So the beginners we talked about. So a couple that didn't make the cut for any of these tiers. Not to say that they aren't important, but we'll just talk about them briefly here. Rest periods. This is one of those things that don't overthink it. You know, if you're fully rested before you start your next set, you probably rested too long. So don't overthink rest periods. Just keep moving. Keep things relatively brief. Progression. This is important. I debated on putting this in one of the tiers. This is like forcing progressive overload through the course of workouts. I left it off simply because the way that I program workouts, progression is kind of forced. So it becomes something that you can concern yourself less with and just follow the guidelines of the program that are in front of you, and it becomes a little bit easier. So, but it is important for sure. Exercise selection, same thing. You know, if you're following a plan, it's been done for you. And also, I think people drastically overthink exercise selection for the most part. Just do stuff. Do stuff that is not necessarily comfortable. Don't favor just the stuff that you like doing. Do some stuff that you don't like or that you're not good at, and get a little variety in, but not too much variety. Consistency and sameness is good too. Volume, overall volume of workouts, you know, super high volume, super low volume, you know, shorter workouts, longer workouts. It's another one of those things. Don't overthink it. And if you stay in the middle ground more often than not, you're going to be in a good place. Massage rolling. I mean, sure, you know, mobility is good. Flexibility is good. I'm not going to put that in either of the top three tiers though. Genetics. I would say, you know, for what, how I labeled this. So calling these things factors of concern was my idea. That's not anything that you should ever be concerned about because it's nothing you can change. You have no control over that whatsoever. So forget about it. Time under tension. You know, I thought about that. I am a huge fan of that, but I opted for intensity and muscle activation instead and left time under tension out just because I didn't want any of these tiers to be dominated by, you know, one category of thing. I wanted to get a little variety in there. Time under tension is super important. Once again, if you're following a plan like what I provide, then, you know, time under tension is kind of, you know, it's not done for you, but you're told what it should be at least. So, evidence-based training. Some of the evidence is flawed. So I don't take a bro science approach to stuff, but I also don't bury my nose into studies. You know, I'll check them out, I'll read them, but I also know that, you know, the things that these studies are focusing on are not necessarily relevant always to bodybuilding. So they may be more relevant to strength output or endurance or something like that. So I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on anything like that. And I mean, let's be clear. If you're just starting out and you're trying to put on like, you know, 20 pounds of muscle or something like that, the last thing you need to be doing is concerning yourself with the minutiae of studies on exercise science. Go out and work. Do some work. Do some work. Let's jump into the intermediate level here. So tier two. So you've been at this for a little while. You're not necessarily in a place where you would call yourself advanced yet, but you're working there. So you're in an intermediate tier. These are the things that I would add into the mix at that point. Number one, training to failure. Just because when you're a beginner, I think just trying to get your hands around what a proper workout feels like is good enough. And also, failure is going to come pretty easily when you first start out. So training to failure, I mean, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot when you're first starting out. But as you really get into it and you become more into that intermediate level, training to failure becomes harder. And so it becomes more important, just being able to find a way to dig a little bit deeper and push for those extra few reps to get you closer to it. Specificity. So, in personal training speak, Facebook tapped out due to poor wireless connection. Your video has been paused. Consider moving to find a better signal. Everything's bailing out on me here. Okay, well, for the sake of the podcast, the show must go on. Okay, Instagram's back. Hey, guys, how you doing? Facebook is still out. I don't know what's going on here. My internet connection hates me, apparently. So, Where was I? Oh yeah, specificity. So in personal training vocabulary, specificity principle talks about, you know, if you want to be good at something, do that thing. The way I relate that to bodybuilding specifically is, if you're going to do an exercise, make sure you're doing it in such a way that you're actually hitting the target muscle. In other words, if you're trying to hit reverse flies for the posterior delt, don't do it with the heaviest weight you possibly can, because you're going to turn it into an exercise for the traps. So kind of getting a deeper level of understanding of what it takes to work a specific muscle via a specific exercise, very important. Cardio. So, cardio is important, but I wouldn't say it's a top level concern. And then when it comes to, in the intermediate level, why we want to throw it in here, I would say it has more to do with how to make it effective, how to get a variety in there, how to make anything effective cardio so that you're not necessarily slave to a specific machine. There was a topic on here that said injury management, and I changed that to injury management / prevention. So, by and large, just doing things intelligently, not lifting like a jackass, and being able to, keep yourself healthy so you don't miss time. Hey, Facebook is back. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened there. My internet connection on both sides went out, and Instagram came back within like 10 seconds. But anyway, thanks for hanging out there. I appreciate it. We're going over to the intermediate tier here, and the last one on this list is injury management or prevention. So just being able to be in it for the long haul and not have stupid nagging injuries that either force you to lower your intensity or pull you out of the gym for any appreciable amount of time is key. So I'm doing a little bit of housekeeping here to make sure I'm covering everything. Okay, yes. So a couple others that didn't make the cut. Protein needs. It's kind of redundant. We talked about macros with the top tier, so I felt like that was a little excessive. Energy balance. This is, calories in, calories out. Seeing when you're at a deficit there. Okay. Gotcha, Stuart. No worries. Stuart on Facebook has to take off. So have a good one, man. Energy balance. So calories in, calories out. That's fairly self-explanatory. A lot of people oversimplify and say, that's all there is to it. I'm like, if that was the case, nobody would need a coach or a trainer. it is way more complicated than that. Information sources. This one is a little bit vague, but I think it's, it kind of goes hand in hand with another one that's right next to it, which is bro science. So whenever you're asking for advice or you're looking up information on something, just consider where it's coming from. just put it through the smell test, make sure everything passes muster. Quality of evidence, that's kind of related to that pretty much directly. Meal timing. We talked about this, I think, just last week in the podcast. So don't overthink it. Just eat. Just eat when you need to, and don't obsess over, being 15 or 30 minutes late or early for a specific meal. Micronutrients, so these vitamins and minerals, those kind of things, important? Yes, absolutely. But if your diet is relatively balanced, it should pretty much take care of itself. You can very easily take a multivitamin. Not the best way to get in a lot of those micronutrients, but it works. So I would say, if there was a fourth tier for like the really obsessive compulsive detail oriented people, I might throw it in there. Jump into the third tier, so advanced. And, this is not going to get into like theoretical physics or anything like that. It's not quite that level of advanced when it comes to bodybuilding. But the things that I have tagged for this tier include tempo. So exercise tempo, which does kind of go with time under tension, which I said I wasn't mentioning before. And one of the reasons was because I did pick tempo here. So it's really important, especially to be able to, a lot of the stuff that's in this third tier actually is because as you get more into the advanced level, making further progressions, it gets harder and harder and harder. So you've got to dig into details on a slightly deeper and deeper level in order to continue progressing. So tempo is one of those things, making sure to get a variety of tempos in and really understanding all four phases of the tempo of an exercise. Bulking and cutting. So just making sure that you have a proper phase set up so that you're not always cutting, because your body will wear down from that, and you're not always bulking because you'll get super fat. So I think having a good handle on how through the course of a year or over 2 years' time, how to implement those cycles intelligently is important. Periodization. So this kind of goes with volume, which was one that we had briefly discussed in passing earlier. you know, when it comes to bodybuilding, you know, how are you conducting your training? Are you doing the same thing all the time, always training the same way? When you get to the advanced level, while that will work for some time, when you get to the advanced level, you'll realize you need a little bit more variety than that. You need to mix up your volume. You need to mix up some training modalities. So that's another thing to concern yourself with. Posing also. I debated throwing this in an earlier tier, like intermediate perhaps, but I want to throw it in advance just because, you know, as I've talked about before, I talked about this yesterday, we talked about this in a podcast before about the importance of posing, whether you're competing or not, just because it is a key towards improving muscle activation and mind muscle connection and body coordination. Very important for that. So making sure that you work on that as a means to help, you know, your body get a little bit more in tune with itself so it can continue progressing. Very important. Other things that didn't make the cut. Supplements. I'm not a big fan of most supplements. I think they're largely a waste of time. Well, waste of money. I mean, it doesn't take much time to pop a pill, but the stuff that you get at, like, you know, Vitamin Shop, GNC, NutriShop, etc. You know, I mean, very dubious quality. So certainly doesn't make the cut for any of these tiers. Diet models, you know, that's a discussion for another day. Stretching, important, yes. Is it going to hit the, you know, top four or five things for either of these tiers? No. That being said, get your stretching in. The other ones, things that are related to competing specifically, like peaking, photo shoots, etc. I mean, those aren't things to worry about necessarily. I think those are a little bit of a stretch to even include on the list like this. Anti-aging. I'm not sure where he was going with that, but I mean, bodybuilding is the fountain of youth, right? So that is something to at least enter into the discussion, I guess. Life balance is important. Longevity is important. I would say longevity / sustainability, making sure that you have a plan where you're not just, you know, doing everything you can for 4 months and then blah. You know, we've talked about that and about how having a long-term goal is necessary for that too. Risk-reward ratio. The thing that comes to mind when I talk about risk-reward ratio is CrossFit, which has a very skewed risk-reward ratio. I don't know what the reward is from CrossFit, but the risks to your body are much higher than they are in other exercise programs. So, Jade, at work, can't stay long. No worries. You got to have something to get through that mountain of cardio I'm throwing your way anyway, so you'll be good. Risk-reward, I mean, basically, do things intelligently with an eye towards remaining injury-free as best you can. And then there's a category of them here. There's three of them, and I put this under the category of optional, and I'm drawing a little square around them right here. Steroid use, testosterone replacement, ancillary compounds. So if you're looking for high-level bodybuilding, yeah, I mean, you know, that stuff, it enters into the discussion, but it doesn't have to. I mean, you could be a high-level natural bodybuilder, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. So I left those out of the discussion just because, you know, that's something where you really need to have a separate category for that. So at any rate, there are your bodybuilding factors of concern presented in a three-tier hierarchy. I need to come up with some kind of slightly catchier way to present that. So that sounds very, very lecture-ish, but there it is. So that was the topic for this week. So next week when we come back, I've got one thing that I know I want to talk about. I'm not going to save it. I'll tell you. We're going to talk about the scale. Just because it's everybody's worst enemy, unless it cooperates, in which case it's your best friend. How to have a better relationship with the scale, how to interpret the data that you're getting from it, and make it a little bit more useful, make it work for you rather than against you. So I'll tease that out for right now, and then we'll come back to that next week. So in the meantime, stay on track this week. I mean, continue working hard. Whatever your plan is, whatever your goal is, stay on it. In the meantime, check me out anywhere you can online. So on Facebook, that's facebook.com/5starphysique, Instagram at 5starfit, YouTube, you can find me there. I really should know my YouTube handle at this point, but I don't. I'll get on that. Pinterest, Spotify, the website is 5starphysique.com. Check out the workout plans that I have up there. A new one thrown up last week. I'm going to put up a new one in the next couple days as well. And if you've got any other questions, email me, darren@5starfitness.com. Also, I did throw out a call at the beginning of this, and I will do so again. I'm going to be planning on some YouTube stuff, probably a weekly YouTube episode, a video that runs in the 5 to 10 minute range. I'm just looking to assess interest in that. And then also if anybody has any ideas for topics. So let me know and I will make it happen. So your wish is my command. So in the meantime, everybody have an awesome week. I'm checking out and signing off here. So I hope everybody has a good one and I will catch you back here next week.